psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
To reach out to children that have absolutely nothing and to provide for them, and I mean, that's God's work.
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught? Remember that these men and women in prisons all around the world are human beings. Mm-hmm. God loves them.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Dr. Dobson, you have a very special guest with you in the studio today, one who I know is quite close to your heart.
Well, that's an understatement, Luann, because our daughter, Danae, has come to spend a few days with us here at Colorado Springs, and that's given me an opportunity to talk to her about my new book, Bringing Up Girls, mm-hmm. and by the way, which she just finished reading.
There's a reason for that.
And especially the things that I wrote about there on the father-daughter relationships. And I thought it would be kind of neat for Danae and me to reflect on the things mm-hmm. in the book as it relates to her childhood, which was very precious to me. Mm-hmm. So, Danae, welcome. Good to have you in the studio. And we've got a lot to say on this day, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I wanted to say that I was just so grateful for the dedication that you wrote to me in the book. I did not get a chance to read it because you withheld it from me before the book was in print. But upon the first reading, I got tears in my eyes, and it was just so tender, so compassionate, and really symbolized our love for each other.
Well, there's a reason why you didn't find that out, because it was a very carefully guarded secret. I didn't want you to know, and it pleased me that it pleased you.
Doctor, would you read that for us right now?
Well, it's in the very beginning of the book, and this is what I said. This book is dedicated to my only daughter, Danae Ann Dobson, who has brought incredible joy and love to my life. As I wrote in the first chapter of the book, the passion I feel for the subject at hand is related to the daughter who still calls me dad. She is grown now, but I love her like I did when we were first introduced in the delivery room. Something electric occurred between us on that mystical night, and it endures today. I thank God for the privilege of being the father of this remarkable woman.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, and one thing that my grandma used to always say is that the very first time that she saw me in the delivery room, the first thing she said was, "There's Jim." Well, I was a carbon copy, I suppose.
And in more recent years, they've been talking about you looking a lot like your mother.
Mm-hmm. And, they do. Yeah.
Well, it's a compliment on both regards to me.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what I attempted to capture in that dedication was the relationship that we've had from your earliest childhood. It's very hard to put that into words because it's very complex and it's very deeply felt, and it is punctuated by memories of so many events in our lives. And what we want to do with our program today is to talk about the father-daughter relationship, not only as it relates to Danae and me, but to fathers and daughters generally, which is, as you know, Luann, a major theme of this book.
Very much. And we've already dedicated a few programs to that discussion, Doctor. Danae, we've heard some of these stories that your dad has shared, so I'm kind of curious. I'd like to hear your perspective and recollection of some of these very same stories that he's talked about. For instance, I know he's referred to the Saturday mornings when you guys would take bike rides to the playground. You do remember that well, don't you?
I do. The Lord has really blessed me with a good memory, and I'm just so grateful for that because so many of my childhood memories from age 2, 3, 4 are just in living color. And one of my favorite memories was when my dad would take me on bike rides on Saturday mornings. And we would go to the park, we would drive down by the wash that was near where our home was, or we would go to the school playground, and we would build sandcastles. Mm-hmm. And Dad would make sure that they all had a drawbridge and a moat, and I would take a little container and dump water in the moat. It never lasted very long, because it gets soaked up right away. But and then he would push me on the swing And I remember I would just feel like I was flying because, you know, when kids your own age push you on a swing, you don't get very high.
You don't go very high.
But, you know, when you've got a 6-foot, 215-pound dad pushing you, you're soaring high. So that was a very special memory for me.
You remember what we did afterward, Danae, when we had been together and we'd been to the sandbox? Then it was about lunchtime. And where did we go to eat?
Oh, Tacolita, our favorite little taco stand. And just, you know, one of those little places that was owned by a Mexican family, and they just made the best food. So we went there on a regular basis, and then we often got ice cream.
Yeah, and do you remember reference to Cinderella?
Yes, Rodgers and Hammerstein, the Cinderella television program. Dad recorded it audibly because we didn't have VCRs back then. And so Dad would put a little Craig tape recorder on the back of his bike, and we would listen to the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella while we were riding around town and sing along with the songs. And
we knew all the words, and I still do today.
You
know, as a grown man, I still remember the words to most of that music.
So we have Danae to thank for your entree into radio here, Doctor. Is that right? That's where
I'm
it all began.
Some of it began right
thank
there.
Thank you.
But I will say, though, for the record, listeners need to know this. My dad likes chick flicks. He likes Sense and Sensibility. He likes Pride and Prejudice. And just about anything British, right, Dad?
Well, yes, but you know, really what you're getting at is relationship again.
Yes.
Relationships matter to me. They matter in ministry. What I most want to do is reach out and touch people.
Mm-hmm.
And the movies that I despise are those where cars are flying through the air and splashing into swimming pools and helicopters with machine guns firing at those on the ground, where special effects take the place of relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the only man that feels that way. But I like those that connect between people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the memories that Danae is talking about there are precious to me, and that's why I wrote about them in my book, because they illustrate what every father can do to move into his daughter's world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to cost money. In this case, it was just a couple of tacos. But the important thing is to deliberately move into your daughter's world and to respond to her in something meaningful to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I talked about moats and drawbridges and castles, because that was something Danae was interested in because of Cinderella at that time. You can find something that will be a point of connection, and that's what I was attempting to do and what I'm recommending that fathers do. Now, in the book, I talked about the three T's that will allow a father to make that connection. And the first is talk. You know, girls and women, more than boys and men, tend to connect emotionally through conversation. You know, talk is the vehicle that brings their hearts in proximity with others. And if a father wants to get into his daughter's world, he has to talk to her, and mostly he has to listen to her. And that can be done at bedtime. It can be done and should be done at the dinner table, and it should be done during times when the two of you are together just enjoying each other's company.
That's right, Dad. You know, a lot of our conversation occurred in the car. And I used to love the things that you would talk about on our way to school in the mornings. And one of the stories that I loved the most was about a dog named Woof, this ugly little mutt. And you used to make up all these different adventure stories. And I just hung on your every word. And we had other kids who were in the carpool as well. And they loved the stories. And it was out of that relationship with you and that experience that I ended up writing my first children's book. Woof, a bedtime story about a dog.
You were 12 years old. You were the youngest author in the history of Word Publishers. And you went on to do a whole series of books on Woof and four children.
Yes, 10 books to be exact. But there were other fun things that we used to do on the way to school in the mornings. Dad, as you'll recall, the two pink houses that we used to drive past, you nicknamed them El Pinko, Big Pinko and Little Pinko. And you would stop at the ugliest of the homes, and everybody in the carpool would yell out, El Pinko!
Well, I can't help but wonder what the people living in El Pinko and Little Pinko were thinking when this car drives up and stops every morning or most mornings, and a bunch of kids are all screaming out the window, El Pinko, and laughing. But, it's just a silly little thing, but it was fun for the kids, and for that reason, it was fun for me.
And for me, too. Another game that you used to play with me, Dad, on the way to school was pilot to co-pilot. Do you remember that? You would act like you were getting ready to fly a plane, and you would ask questions like, pilot to co-pilot, is your seatbelt buckled? We're about ready to take off. And you'd adjust the mirrors and, you know, the different things on the dashboard like we were getting ready to fly. And that was a fun game for me. And then, you'd press down on the accelerator and we'd pretend like we were in an airplane getting ready to take off.
Doctor, you were so playful. It just strikes me that some men have a hard time acting childlike. And that's what you did to enter her world. You had to come down to her level and act rather silly and playful.
I don't think it's that difficult, Lou Ann. We were all children once, and even men can get into the world of a child if you have the want to, if you intend to do it. The main thing you do is listen to the daughter or the son and find out what's important to them and what they enjoy and what they laugh about, and then get into the program.
And you really did make everything fun, Dad, just by interacting with me. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a knack for being so creative and, like you said, getting into my world and into the princess stories that I loved. And so I just want to thank you for that. You helped to make my childhood very fun and meaningful.
I also told a story in the book about your crying every morning when I would leave to go to Children's Hospital of Los Angeles.
Yes, and, remember that.
When I would drive off, I would look back and you'd be standing in the doorway and waving and crying.
Yes.
And I remember having a little conversation with you many times where I said, Danae, Daddy has to go to work, but mm-hmm. I'll come home. I'm going to come home this afternoon, so you watch for me. You were 3 years old or even younger. I remember you at two crying about my leaving. I remember one day when you said, it's okay, Daddy, I forgive you.
Yes, and I can still remember very vividly how Mom and I used to stand out in the yard and wave while you drove out of sight and just waiting for that hand to go up in the car to know that you saw us and that you were waving back. And there was a certain sense of satisfaction that I derived from seeing that hand go up.
Isn't it interesting, Danae, that you still remember that relatively insignificant morning?
Yes.
When all that happened was a dad went to work and his daughter was waiting for him to say goodbye and didn't see her until he was a long block away. And yet that was important to you.
Very important. It reminds me of the story that you shared in your book about the girl whose father was leaving permanently. And she was asking him, why do you have to go? And he was trying to console her. And he promised her that they would see each other again, that they would spend time together, and made a lot of promises. But at the end of the story, she said, after my father walked out that door, I never heard from him again.
Yeah, that's in my first film series. Yeah.
That's so sad because girls need their fathers.
You feel that even today, don't you, Danae? Well, that's what we're trying to convey, Lou Ann, that there is a point of emotional linkage that can be created between a grown man and a little girl that can grow through the years and become important to both of them, and that's what happened here. Now, I am very sensitive at this moment not to convey that this was a perfect relationship or that we had something that other people can't achieve. Because it can be done. Not if you're worn out and exhausted all the time you're at home, or if you're not at home much. And I have shared many times that one of the reasons that I left USC School of Medicine and Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and started Focus on the Family is that I was gone during that era too much, and realized it in time to make some changes. And that's where Focus on the Family came from.
Well, we're speaking to a man right now who could be at that point, Doctor. Right now, they have some decisions to make, and what you and Danae have just shared, very tearfully here, Danae, it hits you very deeply. These little girls who don't have a dad, we're speaking to one of those dads right now. What would you say to that man?
Well, Luann, I think that it's so important for dads to realize that girls need so much more than just being a good provider. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of dads feel that if they're putting a roof over their kids' heads and putting food on the table and meeting their physical needs, that that's enough. And it's not enough. Children need to be told that they're loved. They need to be reminded of it on a regular basis, especially little girls. Mm-hmm. They need to engage in some of those meaningful conversations that Dad was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Luann, that reminds me of a favorite quote in the book. It was written by Dr. Meg Meeker. She's a pediatrician. And she wrote a wonderful book along the lines of what I was writing. It's called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. I strongly recommend it to our listeners after they've read my book, of course. But let me just read one section of that book and see if it doesn't relate to what we're saying here. She wrote, "I've watched daughters talk to fathers. When you come into the room, they change. Everything about them changes. Their eyes, their mouths, their gestures, their body language. Daughters are never lukewarm in the presence of their fathers. They might take their mothers for granted, but not you. They light up or they cry. They watch you intensely. They hang on your words. They hope for your attention, and they wait for it in frustration or in despair. They need a gesture of approval, a nod of encouragement, or even simple eye contact to let them know that you care and are willing to help. When she's in your company, your daughter tries harder to excel. When you teach her, she learns more rapidly. When you guide her, she gains confidence. If you fully understood just how profoundly you can influence your daughter's life, you would be terrified, overwhelmed, or both. Boyfriends, brothers, even husbands can't shape her character the way you do. You will influence her entire life because she gives you an authority she gives to no other man." Mm-hmm. Many fathers, particularly of teen girls, assume they have little influence over their daughters, certainly less influence than their daughters' peers or pop culture, and think their daughters need to figure out life on their own. But your daughter faces a world markedly different from the one you did growing up. It's less friendly, it's morally unmoored, and even outright dangerous. After age 6, little girl clothes are hard to find. Many outfits are cut to make her look like a seductive 13 or 14-year-old girl trying to attract older boys. She will see sexual innuendo in scenes of overt sexual behavior in magazines or on television before she's 10 years old, whether you approve of it or not. She will learn about HIV and AIDS in elementary school and will also probably learn why and how it is transmitted. You need to stop in your tracks, open your eyes wider, and see what your daughter faces today, tomorrow, and in 10 years. It's tough and it's frightening, but this is the way it is. Even though she may not participate in ugly stuff, it's all around her. Sexual promiscuity, alcohol abuse, foul language, illegal drugs, and predatory boys and men who want to take something from her. Whether you live in a 10,000-square-foot home in rural Connecticut or a 1,000-square-foot apartment in Pittsburgh. Ugliness is everywhere. And there's only one thing that stands between it and your daughter, you. Fathers inevitably change the course of their daughters' lives and can even save them. From the moment you set eyes on her wet-from-the-womb body until she leaves your home, the clock starts ticking. It's the clock that times your hours with her, your opportunities to influence her, to shape her character, and to help her find herself and to enjoy living. Dr. Meeker's perspective here is brilliant, including her unsettled references to the ugliness in today's world. Indeed, the culture is cruel beyond imagination, and it threatens the emotional and physical health of this generation of girls. It's aimed squarely at female sexuality, beginning in early adolescence or even earlier, and continuing into adulthood. Without her fathers to protect and defend them, girls are often on their own against formidable forces. In short, the influence that dads wield for good or harm in their daughters' lives touches every dimension of life. Especially, it shapes and stabilizes girls' sense of worth and keeps alive their tender spirits. Mm-hmm. That's not bad, is it?
That is beautiful. And you know, as you were reading that, Dad, on a smaller scale, I was thinking about how you really fought for me when I was in fifth grade. Do you recall when I was lugging home way too much homework and you wrote a letter to my teacher saying that you thought it was unhealthy for me to not have balance in my life? And you explained why in your letter. And you told that teacher, Danae will do 2 hours of homework per night. And when those 2 hours are up, we're closing the books. And whatever isn't done will remain unfinished. And I remember feeling so loved and cared for that you would fight for me like that. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that what you were saying was true. I didn't have much balance in my life.
Nor did we in a family. You know, when a student has 3 or 4 hours of homework a night, there's no time to talk as a family. There's no time for games. There's no time for kids to just go in the backyard and waste some time, kick a soccer ball around or something, and time for God. To have devotions. So I felt like it was out of balance, and I stepped in, and the school was very understanding and cooperated with me on it.
Well, Dr. Dobson, that's an excellent and very practical example of how you rose to the defense for your daughter. I mean, Danae, in a way, he kind of was that hero that we just heard Dr. Meeker describe, wasn't he?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, even as an adult, my dad is still my hero. Just last week, I had a business meeting right here at Family Talk, and I was talking to a couple people in there, and all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. Dad walked in, and I just felt so warm and so tender toward him when he came into that room, and it was like, that's my dad, that's my hero coming in to join this business meeting. And so I think at any age, a girl wants to view her dad as her hero.
Well, Dr. Dobson, in the closing moments here, really kind of the theme of what we've heard today is this wonderful relationship that you've been able to enjoy with Danae really from her birth. But I think even you would admit that it's not all rosy. There are those points of contention in any relationship, a marriage relationship, a parenting one, that must be addressed. And I think next time we're going to come back to some of those.
Yeah, I think it's really important to make that case right here at the end of the program, Luann, because this has been a rosy picture. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Danae's a very strong-willed girl and expressed that strength and that will from the time that she was a toddler. Mm-hmm. And there have been moments of tension. It has not all been sweetness and light. Mm-hmm. And it's really not in any human relationship, not even between a loving husband and wife. There are times when you're trying to work through things, and it would not be entirely honest for us to leave it right where it is now. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about the reality of the conflict, because that's part of life too.
Yes, and I have a question. Just where do you suppose my strong will came from?
Not from me. Came from your mother, of course.
Oh, there are thousands who would disagree.
Well, we got one of them right here at the end of the podcast.
A very good place to stop, I think. So again, we began talking about the three T's between fathers and daughters, and the first one being talk.
Conversation.
And we will address the rest of them tomorrow. Danae, I have a feeling you could come back for that time, couldn't you?
Oh, I would enjoy that very much.
All
thanks,
right.
Luann.
We'll see you next time. And again, this is all based on Dr. Dobson's brand new book, Bringing Up Girls, which is available at myfamilytalk.com. You can even request an autographed copy, autographed personally by Dr. Dobson, of Bringing Up Girls, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call. 1-877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. See you next time.